In Ezekiel chapter 34, we have this absolutely wonderful prophecy given that there is coming this good shepherd. And God says this through Ezekiel in verse 23. He says, I will place over them, that's the people of God, one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. So there you have this absolutely wonderful prophecy that one of the descendants of David would be this forever king, yes, but he would be the shepherd of God's people. And just again, very familiar to you, I know, but a reminder of what it means for God to be your shepherd. And Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, we pray that as we consider your shepherd love, we ask that you would, by your Spirit, draw near. Father, we pray that we would know and feel and rejoice in your presence this morning. Father, we ask that you would bless each and every one who is here in whichever way they need to be refreshed by your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So again, just one more little passage before we dive in. And it's just a theme where he says in John 10 verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Just as we look at this theme, as I was preparing, I felt after a little while a little bit like a tiny little baby mouse nibbling at this Mount Everest-sized lump of cheese. The whole theme in Scripture of God's shepherd love for his people. So I've had to be selective in some of the things that we're going to be looking at this morning. So please come up and share with me afterwards, you know, the things that I've left out of this really important, wonderful truth about God being your shepherd and my shepherd. Let me know at the end. But the first thing, just very briefly, we're going to look at is, and there's five things, very, very brief this morning. And the first one is that the good shepherd lays down his life for you, his sheep. And we're talking here about the sheep of God. Everybody who has ever come to know and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone who believes in him and has been saved, is part of God's little flock, who he delights in and who he loves. And it is a joy, is it not, to remember again and again and again that the good shepherd knows us and loves us so much that he would lay down his life for us on the cross. You know, I've got an auntie Anne. There's a story within my family of my auntie Anne, who was 14 years old, down at Burryport Harbour. And she used to go swimming in the harbour with her friends as a young girl. And on one occasion, they were always warned, you know, as soon as the tide starts going out, you need to get out of the water because the drag out to the estuary was absolutely extraordinarily strong. And on one occasion, a friend of hers called Mary was out too far and started to be dragged out into the estuary. And my Auntie Anne, who was up on the side, had a choice to make. Do I dive in and try and rescue my friend, or do I watch her being dragged out? She was the strongest swimmer out of all of them. She dived in, swam out to her, and after a considerable length of time, she managed to get her back to a part of the harbour wall. And by then, there were a few adults who had gathered, and they reached down over the harbour wall and grabbed this Mary and lifted her off and went and saw to her. And then when they went back to collect my Auntie Anne, she was gone. So I never met her. She drowned in Burryport Harbour many, many years ago. And as lovely as it is for someone to risk their life for another, it is another thing altogether for someone to knowingly go to death to save another, let alone save their enemies. And that is what Jesus does, because his love is like any other love. There's no greater love anywhere that you could go in the whole universe that you would find a greater love than the love of Jesus, who lays down his life for you. Take that to heart. Dwell upon it. Rejoice in it. That even though, and you've probably seen this illustration many, many times, it's worth reflecting on. There's your soul, and there on top of your soul is the record of your debt to God. Every wrong thought, all the things you should have done that you never did, let alone all the things that you did that you knew you shouldn't have done. Just the sin that is part of who we are, in rebellion against God, living our lives independently from him. And there it is, all held against us upon our souls. And then, of course, here's Jesus, and he is perfect, without blemish, and he in love goes to the cross so that every last bit of record of your debt, past, present, future, is laid on him and punished by God the Father, so that he became sin for you. He endured the cross out of love for his Father and love for you. How wonderful is that love that Jesus has for you? And then, not only that, since he has loved you in such a way, you know, that he knew that nothing could deliver you from hell except his blood shed for you, and he willingly laid his life down, even though he could have called down a legion of angels to wipe out his enemies, even though he was the one who flung the stars into space, the one through whom the whole universe was made, and for whom the whole universe is made, that all power is in his hands, and he could have destroyed his enemies with consummate ease, and yet he chose to go to the cross and suffer for you. How wonderful a shepherd that he should lay down his life for his lambs. But then, having laid down his life, secondly, his love for you therefore will never fail. We just sung, didn't we, of this love that he will never relinquish you. His love for you will never fail. Now just remember this, you know, he says in verse 28 of John 10, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And then, you know, if there's any doubt in your mind still about once having come to know him, whether or not you will be sustained by him until the end, Romans 5, God demonstrates his own love for you in this, that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. And since you have now been justified by his blood, you've been declared righteous by the blood of Jesus, your sin is gone, removed as far as east is from west, never to be seen again. How much more will you now be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Do you get a picture here? The good shepherd, once you are in his flock, you cannot leave it. Not even if you're stubborn and foolish at times. Not even if you do things that are I've just turned it off here. Is that okay? Angus the trumpeter, he comes along sometimes, he follows me around. I've told him once, if I've told him a million times, please leave your trumpet. Basically, how wonderful is it that having been reconciled to God through faith in Jesus, that we will therefore be guaranteed of being saved through his life. So this is the love that passes all knowledge. Just dwell on this now. No one loves you more than this. No one can separate you from his love. We know that from Romans 8, don't we? Neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, and nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love that Jesus has for us. And at the end of all of considering these things, this is what J.C. Ryle had to say. He said, "Lean back your soul on these mighty truths and be thankful. A willing Saviour, a loving Saviour, a Saviour who came specially into the world to bring you life is just the Saviour you need. If you hear his voice, repent and believe he is your own." And just the certainty that his love for you will never fail. How wonderful is that truth? And then consider this, thirdly, that the good shepherd knows his sheep. He knows you. Have a listen to this. I brought this book along, Gentle and Lowly, in the spirit of Roger Carswell. He was doing book plugs all week long. Anyone who knows him will know that he does this. But this is a fantastic book, Gentle and Lowly, by Dane Ortlund. And he says this, and this is a quote from John Bunyan. And the text that he's considering is, "Having loved his own," John 13, verse 1, "he loved them to the end." Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. And it says, this is what Bunyan says, "It's common for equals to love and for superiors to be loved. But for the King of Princes, for the Son of God, for Jesus Christ, to love man thus, this is amazing. And that so much the more for that man, the object of his love is so low, so mean, so vile, so undeserving, and is so inconsiderable, as by the scriptures everywhere he is described to be. He is called God, the King of Glory, but the persons of him beloved are called transgressors, sinners, enemies, dust and ashes, fleas, worms, shadows, vapours, vile, filthy, sinful, unclean, ungodly fools, madmen. And now is it not to be wondered? And are we not to be affected herewith, saying, and will you set your eye upon such a one? And how much more when he has set his heart upon us?" So just consider that amazing, breathtaking love. He knows you, and yet he loves you. He knows all about you, and
He delights to bless you. That is the heart of God towards you who are in his little flock. It's quite an extraordinary thing. And yeah, just consider as well who it is that we're talking about here. Who is this good shepherd? Well, he is, as you know, the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. He is the one in whom all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This is the good shepherd who knows you by name, who knows the number of hairs on your head, and who loves you, who's given his life for you, has promised to sustain you, and whose voice you hear, whose voice you know, so much so that when his spirit, when he has made his home in you, when you are born again, you can listen to his word and you can rejoice in it. And when someone stands up here and says something which is a bit off, the spirit within you, you just sense when there is someone not leading you aright, because you know his voice. Just as he knows you, you know him. It's an extraordinary thing to be in a relationship, a loving relationship with the King of Kings, the Good Shepherd of God's little lambs. And he knows your family. He knows where you live. He knows the circumstances of your life. He knows what you faced yesterday, tomorrow, and for all the days of your life to come. He knows your private history, your experiences. He knows your weaknesses. He knows the trials that you are going through. He knows you at your deepest, darkest moments in your life. He knows everything about you. And the Good Shepherd knows you wonderfully and thoroughly, and yet does not despise you. He loves and cares for you. Now, if you're anything like a number of believers down the ages, there are times when you just find it so hard to believe this, when you think, surely I have blown it now. How can he? Does he know about this? And does he still love me? Can I come back after yet again I have stumbled in this way? And the word of God is so wonderfully clear about this. That Christ in you, the hope of glory, his love is unending. Sometimes I think our love for is sometimes, you know, when you receive a postcard of a picture of on a beach, and you think, oh, that's very pretty, but it's not the same as being sat there, feeling the cool breeze, having the sun beat down on you, enjoying the sand beneath your feet, if you do, and paddle boarding or whatever it is that you do down there. The experience is so much better, isn't it? And sometimes we can almost have a postcard size view of the love that the Good Shepherd has for us. And we need God's Spirit to come down once again and reassure us of the truth of these things. He's no hired hand. He's the Good Shepherd. But finally, really, it's just this takes up most of the rest, really, is Jesus' care for you. Just before we finish, as a good shepherd, you know, he cares for all of his believing people, and he provides everything that we need. So let's just think about that for a moment. He doesn't cast you aside because you've been wayward, or stumbled, or grown weary, or disappointed him. He guards and protects you from all of your enemies, who can do no more than your shepherd allows them to. For at times, as we read in 1 Peter, now for a little while we read, while you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes,
even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. And so, no matter what kind of dark periods you go through in your life, the truth is that God leads you into the valleys, and he's the one who leads you through the valley, and he leads you out of the valley. Whatever that valley may look like for you, the good shepherd takes you through. He led you there. I may have shared it before, but lovely illustration as well of back in, I think I might have shared this last time, actually, but it fits so jolly well, where there was this woman on a ship back in the 1700s, and her husband was the captain. Did I tell you about that last time? And her captain was, he was steering one of these old ships with a big wheel at the front. And there is this absolutely huge storm as they're going across the Atlantic. And the swell is terrifying. The waves are crashing. And the boat looks like it is going to sink. And her husband is calm sailing through the storm. And he's a believing man. And so his wife comes up to him in this storm, and she's thought, you know, how can you be so calm in this storm? She's distressed. And so it's a time when they were carrying swords, and he takes down his sword and he holds his sword to her breast. And he says, "Why are you not afraid when I am holding this sword to your breast?" It's a very sharp sword. It's a dangerous sword. It's a life-threatening sword. And she smiled at him and said, "How can I be fearful when it's my loving husband who wields it?" He says, "How can I be afraid of this storm when it is my good shepherd who sent it and who manages it?" That's how it is as a sheep in God's flock. Whatever storm you are going through, remember who sent it and who manages it. You know, Psalm 23, doesn't it? It talks us through how even through the valley of the shadow of death, we shall fear no evil. You know, he's got it all in hand. We might look back and we forget the green pastures when we're going through those dark times, don't we? But just remember, in terms of the enemies that are arrayed against us, the powers and principalities, the seemingly toxically awful experiences, sometimes thorns in our flesh, individuals who seem intent or tormenting us, simply because we belong to the Saviour. And we can think, "Oh, you know, why are you letting me go through this?" But just remember what happened when Jesus landed on that island where a demon-possessed man, think about how strong he was with these demons within him, able to break chains. And yet when he comes before the good shepherd, these demons within the man scream out in terror. They are terrified of the Son of God. And they beg not to be cast into the abyss at the feet of Jesus. They know what end is coming. They know who it is that's before him, before them. And it is the same with everything you face. Jesus is sovereign. He is the sovereign protector. He has everything in hand. There is nothing that can come against you that is not within his divine control. And he has the whole situation under hand, whatever you're going through. And just finally, just remember that where he's leading you, he's leading you home. The good shepherd leads you through the valley of death, and he is leading you home. I was yesterday visiting a lovely church member who was up in Uplands in hospice in Shrewsbury. And I was just saying, "Look," I was saying, "George, you know, what can I bring for you? What can I bring for you next time? What can we do for you now as a church?" He said, "Don't bring me any more sweets," he said. It was like boxes of Ferrero Rocher up on the side. He said, I'm wanting for nothing," he said. "What you can do is when that time comes, when I breathe my last, that I might know the shepherd's hand powerfully
and wonderfully carrying me through. That was what his prayer was. And it's just very, very wonderful and moving that there he was, knowing the presence of his Saviour and even looking forward to what lay beyond. Just wanted to be carried over that final stretch. And that's how it is with you. The Good Shepherd will lead you home. We're just going to finish with a quote from Jonathan Edwards at the end of this book, and where he touches on this theme. And he says this: in that resurrection morning, when the Son of Righteousness shall appear in the heavens, shining in all his brightness and glory, he will come forth as a bridegroom. He shall come in the glory of his Father with all his holy angels. That will be a joyful meeting of this glorious bridegroom and bride indeed, or shepherd and flock. Then the bridegroom will appear in all his glory without any veil, and then the saints shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, and at the right hand of their Redeemer. Then will come the time when Christ will sweetly invite his spouse to enter in with him into that palace of his glory, which he had been preparing for her from the foundation of the world, and shall, as it were, take her by the hand and lead her in with him. And this glorious bridegroom and bride shall be with all their shining ornaments, ascend up together into the heaven of heavens, the whole multitude of glorious angels waiting upon them. And this son and daughter of God shall, in their united glory and joy, present themselves together before the Father, when Christ shall say, "Here I am, and the children which thou hast given me." And they both shall, in that relation and union together, receive the Father's blessing, and shall thenceforth rejoice together in consummate, uninterrupted, immutable and everlasting glory, in the love and embraces of each other, and joint enjoyment of the love of the Father. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, we praise you for the joy of knowing that Jesus is our shepherd. We thank you for that wonderful day when we were brought into your flock. And we pray, Father, anyone here this morning who doesn't yet know what it is to even be within your flock, we ask, Father, that in your love, that they might know what it is to trust at last in the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins, for peace with you, for joy everlasting, and for the hope that we've just heard of, that having been led through this life by our Good Shepherd, who laid down his life for us, his lambs, that we might be led ultimately safe home to those eternal pastures that are unimaginably wonderful in the presence of our Good Shepherd. Lord, how wonderful it is to be part of your little flock. In Jesus' name we pray that you'd help us to remember these things, to grasp how high and deep and wide is your love for us in Jesus. Amen.